Today FM Breakfast, M, Grant and Ed.
Hello, podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Kim?
Yes, hi.
Hi. What would you like to push in the podcast, Kim?
I'd like to say that The Secret Sound Tomorrow
yep.
is worth $76,000. That's all I'm pushing. And Bill Shorten was on the show today.
And you know what The Secret Sound is.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Blank.
Yeah.
Oh. Tried to get me.
Yeah.
You're so funny.
Good effort. Strong effort.
Strong effort. Oh, yes, we had Kitty Flanagan in. She was amazing.
Yeah, good fun. Who stays with strangers?
Kitty Flanagan.
That's out there, man.
We believe we know the winner of The Bachelor.
Yeah, Brittany.
Brittany. Brittany.
Can you ask today, actually, Grant, when you see
yeah.
them, can you, when you ask what, your
have
crew
you
members?
Have some leaked information?
No, because she, Brittany's, no, the Honey Badger's sister commented on Brittany's Facebook page.
Said happy birthday.
Why would she do that? Yeah, why
and
would she do that?
Another family member liked it.
And then they both deleted the comment. So can you ask the people that you know that worked on The Bachelor today?
I will come back with the answer tomorrow.
It's over, I mean, it
Scoop
is.
Up.
Definitely. And a bride lost her mind and called everyone
She
on Facebook.
Pencils.
Pencils.
I did replace the word with pencil. Mike, you're going to have to bleep the opener.
Bleep, it's Bleep City. All right. Thank you all. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Hey, yes, right on 6 o'clock.
Good morning, Sydney.
Monday, here we go. Plenty on.
So, I like how my sheet says Trump turkey, BBC audio, hard-boiled eggs in bottom.
That's the three things we'll be covering in a moment.
And don't ever, ever accuse us of not having a diverse range of content.
Thank you. Okay. You can't tell what's going to happen. Today, lots on. 75 grand, The Secret Sound.
Oh, my God.
How much money is that?
That's a lot of money.
The difference between saying 74 and 75 grand, I don't know why, but it feels
it's bigger. It's rounder. I agree.
Shall we hear it?
Yes.
Still got no idea.
Kim, our executive producer, does. Now she's tired because she's had a big weekend. She's a bit hungover, so she could be weakened today.
Oh, she could say something.
We'll be on her.
Bill Shorten's going to come in and say hello.
Our preferred Prime Minister, apparently, now.
I just want to see how happy he is.
He would be gleeful. he'll be hard to contain.
He's so happy with himself.
He's like, guys, I'm going to drop in. Is that okay? Yeah. He's just dropping in. He was just happy to talk. Well, sure, mate.
He's ready. He's ready to chat.
You're sure, Billy boy.
And Bride's going mad on Facebook. And of course, we've got Kids Alpha Bucks. $10,000 up for grab at 7.
Sydney, start your engines.
Start your engines, brothers.
All right, let's start with some English reporters. We know that they've been having trouble with the heat for months and months and months.
Is that still going on?
I think that's sort of dissipated, but now they're sort of, it's the World Service BBC reporters that are in trouble.
Okay.
A little bit of We Are British.
We are British.
Yes, you are. Now, this poor gentleman, he is reporting on the hurricane in Hawaii.
So it's terrible. Yes, yes, yes.
Gone from the heat, and he's like, right, you're going to be a hurricane guy instead.
Mm-hmm.
And have a listen to how this live radio report goes. Take it away, BBC.
The latest forecast suggests the eye will skirt the Big Island in around 12 hours' time before brushing past Maui on its way to Oahu.
I'm all right. Yeah. I'm fine.
Okay.
Well, that was unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm all right. Don't move it. Don't move it. I'll be easier just to climb out.
Okay,
stand by. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Smashed
his laptop. What happened?
He hit by, he's like a tree. Just like collapsed.
That's amazing.
I'll be right. I'll climb out. I'll smash my laptop.
How British a reaction is that? No swear words. Didn't swear live on air.
That was Carl Stefanovic.
Can you imagine?
That was any of the Stefanovics.
Effing, Jeffin. Smash me laptop. He's even polite to a tree that has crushed him.
Yeah.
What a guy.
That's very good. Man's in a critical condition after stuffing 15 hard-boiled eggs up his bottom.
Now, why did he do that?
Well, he'd had some things. He was, I think, let's just say he was visiting Amsterdam.
Okay.
And he did. Now, we were all contending this morning, did he peel them or not?
Yeah.
He did peel them.
So he's gone one by one.
When you've had some things that alter your states of consciousness,
gosh,
peeling eggs is, because I find peeling eggs hard when I'm sober.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
You know, you've got to crack them. Do you put it under cold water?
Yeah, but it doesn't work for me. I always have to just crack them and then hope for the best.
Because sometimes you end up picking off the, you're just left with a yolk.
Yes.
Yeah, so he just didn't, just popped one, two, like the feeling of it, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Gosh.
10. Most people, I would say, would stop at 10. I mean, you'd stop at 10.
No, it depends.
Would you keep going?
Depends on what.
You're a tall guy. You probably could go 12.
Yeah, like if it's, you want to sort of turn yourself into like a Pez dispenser.
Well, he's really done that. And then he's fronted up to hospital. I don't know what's wrong with me, guys. I've just got a terrible stomach ache.
And they've gone.
You've got 15 eggs up your bum. And he's like, ah, yes, I knew I'd forgotten something. So, yeah, after several days, they said he could leave the hospital in a clinical
condition. Oh, he's okay now.
He's fine. Wow. But it took him 7 days to right the wrongs of the rectum eggs.
But that's now his party trick. He's 100%. Now like, hey, does anyone want some breakfast? Stand on the other side of the room. Watch this.
Oh, God. That is a good party trick.
And finally, speaking of birds. Yeah. So Trump was doing a rally. So he does election rallies, but he does them while he's already got the gig, right? Yeah. And he was doing one in Virginia, West Virginia, sorry, in Charleston. He started talking about China.
He loves China.
Yeah, he loves China. I have tremendous respect for China.
Yeah.
I mean, the energy, the genius, it's incredible what they have done, which is fair enough.
Mm.
And he's talking about a deal he's meant to be getting done.
Right.
And then he sort of takes this hard, weird right-hand turn into, I mean, have a listen, but he's people in Congress coming up to him saying, haven't you got the deal done with China yet?
Oh, he's too slow.
Take it away, Mr. Trump.
Sir, can you get this deal done immediately? I said, it doesn't work that way. I don't want to go too fast. The deal's not going to be any good if we do that. We got to take time. It's got to gestate, right? The word gestate. It's like when you're cooking a chicken. Time. Turkey for Thanksgiving. My mother would say, oh, 8 hours. I said, 8 hours? She made the greatest turkey I've ever had.
He sounds like he's in Goodfellas.
How good is he?
What's that? Hey,
just do it. Go, let's go. Because he's doing, you're right. He's
Goodfellas.
Yeah, he's doing like, or like the Godfather. Go on.
Sure. Can you get this deal done immediately? I said, it doesn't work that way. I don't want to go too fast.
Too fast.
The deal's not going to be any good if we do that. We got to take time.
You're talking to me.
This is where he forgets what he's talking about.
It's like when you're cooking a chicken.
What am I doing? What am I going with
this? Turkey for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm good.
My mother would say, oh, 8 hours. I said, 8 hours? She made the greatest turkey I've ever had.
So glad he's in charge of the nuclear codes, guys.
Man, it's going to one of his rallies. Who needs drugs?
Nah.
Just kick back and all right, let's see what this bloke's got for us. Bachelor.
Yes, so into The Bachelor.
I am too.
Yeah, it's funny because normally we don't, but we have.
The girls are the stars. They've really ramped it up.
Haven't they just? Cass was just in the Daily Telegraph claiming to be being poorly edited. So she is not a stalker.
No, she's edited.
I just feel like we should perhaps mention to James Weir, who I love his writing from news.com.au, maybe hold back on the S word.
Oh, the S word.
Don't you think it's a little harsh?
She's
referred to her as
motivated.
Just the stalker now. Yeah, enthusiastic.
She's enthusiastic. Committed.
She's committed.
A one-way commitment.
She's
a one-way commitment machine.
Yes.
So she was the one that had the book.
The
Dream Diary. That's right. And then there was the Super Orkies moment of the show so far was when Kat, the Bali...
Jewelry designer.
I thought it was fashion.
No, jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's always wearing it too. Like, even when it's not appropriate, she's always got her big earrings and necklaces on.
I hadn't noticed. Yeah. She went in for a kiss.
Am I going to tempt you?
Oh, God.
You're going to go for a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just be calm.
I'm actually all right now.
It's warming up.
Awkward.
She had to walk. You leave at that point.
I tell you, I get
you
my bat ball. I'll go, thanks for the time, guys, but I'm heading out.
You have to.
If he doesn't want to pass you, why are you there? Why am I here?
That, and
he's passionate everyone else.
Everyone else.
He's happy to kiss everyone else.
Everyone else.
Suddenly he's got standards when Kat goes in.
That's terrible for Kat. But they think that the winner has been revealed.
What do you mean?
Yeah, this is eagle-eyed fans. We're in a fan forum, which is, I didn't know that existed, but it does.
Wow.
And apparently Nick, the Honey Badger's real name Nick, the Honey Badger's sister, Bernadette, has wished Brittany.
Brittany?
The one, yeah.
The one he pashed in the hot tub?
Yes.
The one he took on that horrible foot soccer date?
Yeah, the foot golf date.
Yeah.
She has said happy birthday for yesterday on her page. And they're saying, well, why would the Honey Badger's sister...
even care?
Yeah, or A, no, and B, care... just to write a comment on her Facebook page.
They're both from Port Macquarie. Remember?
Hang on.
Yes, they were both born in the same hospital in Port Macquarie. What? What?
Damn it.
What? What? Tell me.
I had some scoopla that there was a possibility that the winner was not from, as it was told to me.
Yeah.
A major capital.
Ah!
Oh.
And I don't... Last time I checked, Port Macquarie is not the capital of New South Wales.
It is not!
As we all know.
Good scoopla. Bad scoopla?
I don't know scoopla.
Wow!
But, so my question to you is, I think this has given it away. There's no reason for a...
Oh, come on. They just wished her happy birthday.
Well, why would she do that otherwise? Well, they're not wishing Kat a happy anything.
Well, we don't know. Maybe we need to go and have a look at... We need to go do a cross-reference of all the bachelorettes and all their birthdays and see if any of the comers have wished them happy birthday. But Brittany has deleted said post since.
Oh.
Yeah. Brittany, put your money on her, guys. Get the sports bet.
On my sheet, it said that now she's at $1.75.
Of course she is.
But apparently we can get it, if we go to Western Australia bookmaker, we can get $3. Is that how late news gets to Western Australia? Apparently I can still put money on Sam Frost over there.
I'm doing this.
Oh, yeah.
You made the Honey Badger sayings generator.
Yeah, so the Honey Badger sayings are...
Play it.
Yeah, fire it up.
How are we tomorrow, fellas?
Washing that around for the girl, thanks, you're tough as woodpecker lips.
Be blind as a walrus, doggy.
But that's nuts.
All right.
Ben Ekin.
All right, the saying generator has started. His whole act is to do sort of old school sayings.
Yeah.
They don't need to make sense. They just need to sound like they make sense. So
I have three mugs.
You have three mugs in front of you.
One says emotion.
Yep.
One says occupation. One says place.
You've taken one from each. So I'm going to ask you how you feel. And this is your own, Em's own Honey Badger saying that's come out of nowhere. Hey, Em, how are you feeling?
Classier than a nurse at the Bondi public showers.
It always works.
You're a genius, Cavalier.
Or I'm as sad as he is.
13 10 60. In what form do your dead relatives and friends visit you? Because Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have said that Kanye's mum Donda and Kim's father, late father, Robert, visit them as two black crows. They turn up and they hang out on the balcony, these two crows, because Kim said she agreed with her dad, if you ever die, you must come to me as a bird.
And he has.
And he has.
And then another bird rocked up.
And then this must be Donda. She died. It was terrible. She died having lipo.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
Yes, it was really awful. They were very, very close. But Kanye says that is how she reappears. And Kim, our executive producer, loves this one so much. This has been on the sheet every day.
2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My grandmother comes to me as a dragonfly. Is this a hook? Nah.
No. How are we doing?
Yeah. My grandmother comes to me as whenever dragonflies, because she left me a diamond dragonfly brooch in her will.
Right.
And we'd never had a thing with dragonflies, but she just left me this beautiful dragonfly brooch. And then dragonflies started just appearing after she died in the most strange places. They used to get caught in the windows at my house.
Uh-huh.
They'd be like in my path. I'd see them everywhere. And I'm just like, I'm convinced that dragonflies are my nana. What about you?
Well, my father appears as an exit sign because he left before I was born.
I want to eat sad pancakes. Is anyone going to be sad? Don't make jokes because I don't know what our boundaries are. And it's, I don't know.
Oh, a bit of fun. It's fun. For God's sake, it's a bit of fun.
It's not.
It is.
You're a really good dad to Arnie.
That's why I said it, because it's a bit of fun.
You'll be like, he'll always come as like good dad, like entry sign, because you're always entering into his life.
Yeah. Hey, it's not. I'm not bothered by it. That's why I make jokes. Well, even if I was, I'd still make jokes about it, but that's fun.
Okay.
So.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's over.
No.
We're going to go.
This is fun. So.
This is not fun.
I'm having a great time. So, who comes to you?
How do you dead?
How do your past relatives show you that they're still around? Is it dreams? Is it in the physical manifestation of something? Say it, Kimmy. I can't hear you. I can't understand your miming.
Yeah.
Like electricity. Lights go on and off.
How do your dead relatives come to you?
Yes.
What do they do?
As electricity.
Is that your dad?
Yes.
Your dad comes and what? There's a surge.
Happened once.
Once during a big storm. So, 131060, how do your past relatives...
Or friends. Yeah.
...show you that they're still around?
Get all the M, Grant and Ed you've missed. Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
131060, how do your past relatives and friends and come to visit you? Because the Kardashians, Kim and Kanye, have said that there's two crows. There they are now.
It's Donda and Rabbit.
So, Shannon from Dural. Shannon, how does your, is it your grandmother? How does she appear?
So my grandmother appears in the form of a feather. My neighbour gave us this beautiful photo frame that had a poem of it about a feather. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, my dad's crazy moments where, you know, my dad's a waterproofer. He'd go up onto a roof and you'd see a feather and it's like almost like she's telling him not to go.
Oh.
And, yeah, so he walked out onto a roof one time and the wind just blew so much that he could have just fallen off the roof. So, like, just moments like that.
You take the warning. She's looking over.
It's like a warning.
Go. There you go, Shannon. Yeah. She's looking over him. Okay, thank you. A feather. Jared from Appen. How are you?
Hello, guys.
Oh, good. Thanks, mate. Talk to me.
How?
All right. My phone glitches and, like, lights up, turns off. And then we went and seen the psychic medium, and she said that that's my mum coming through the phone. Like, we didn't tell her about the phone. She goes, oh, your phone plays up all the time. And she said, that's your mum coming through.
Oh.
Does it happen when you're, like, is it ever, like, when you're on the phone, Jared, or just, like, in something going on?
On the phone and randomly. Like, the phone could be sitting on the bedside table and it'll just light up.
Wow.
And let's call her now. Let's call social. Jared's mum.
Not while he's on air, though. That would be annoying. We don't want the phone to go off, you know. Still, Jared, well done.
Yeah. Jared, are you there? Oh, see?
Oh, it's worked. Marianne from Mount Druitt.
Hello, Marianne.
Oh, I thought she came to you in the form of silence. That's not going to help us.
Who comes to you? Who comes to you and how do they come to you?
My nan does. A month after she was passing, do you remember the old touch lamp she used to have?
Oh, yes.
Hey, just side note, what happened to them?
Amazing. My mum, was yours gold?
Yes.
My mum and dad had a gold one with stain glass top.
Oh, yes.
White and the fabric. On the glass.
Yeah.
But why can't you buy those anymore? They're gone.
I agree.
You clap a light. And touch lamps are gone, and there was no reason for them to leave.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
I want a touch lamp.
There you go.
Yeah.
Touch lamp. Hey, Marianne, so we got sidetracked. Tell us who comes to
you. Nana.
That's okay. It was for a month. At 4 o'clock, it used to come on every single day, and then we unplugged it because at 4 o'clock, she always used to make sure the doors were locked, so we knew it was men coming through. And then a couple of years later, I turned the lamp back on and I didn't realise anything until the day I got married. And at 4 o'clock, I was in my room getting done changing that and come on again.
There you go.
Love that.
The 4 o'clock lamp.
Good. Now I want, I'm going to buy a touch lamp. I reckon we could find one online.
I don't reckon, if Kieran Internet can have a look, I reckon.
Touch lamps.
See if you can find clapping lights and touch lamps.
Clap on the clapper.
649, 104.1.
Both.
Ooh.
Oh, all right.
Was that him?
It's Rezar. Hello?
Oh, so that was. I have a voice that comes in my headphones.
Forget the alphabet and the adults. This is
Alphabucks Kids.
Right on 7 o'clock, it is time for Alphabucks Kids. Grant Denyer, who's hoping to win themselves some 10 grand?
12-year-old Sam from Thornley is on the phone. How you doing this morning, Sam?
Good.
Yes! You sound strong. Fired up for a strong performance. You ready to win some money?
Yeah.
You got any idea, like, you've thought about what you would do with that much cash?
Get some West Tigers stuff.
She loves West Tigers, and I understand you love Benji Marshall.
Yes.
He's a good mate of mine. I'll tell him you said, hey, Sam.
Thank you.
Okay, mate.
All right, 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter L today. L for love. All right?
Yep.
For each question you get right, you score 100 bucks for the chance to win up to 10 grand. If you don't know an answer, that's okay. Just say pass and then we'll move on to the next one. We must take the first answer. Can't use the same answer twice. And the adjudicator's word is final and Mum and Dad can't help. Best of luck, Sam. Your letter is L. Here we go. Name an item in your school bag.
Lunch.
A sweet treat.
Lollies.
An animal.
Lion.
Sports carnival activity.
Long jump.
A body part.
Lung.
Something sour.
Oh, pass.
Something you turn on.
Light.
A place you can read books.
Library.
Something you do at school.
Listen.
A toy you build with.
Lego.
That was a great effort, Sam.
Yeah, and I don't know if Daniel hadn't stumbled, he might have got that.
Oh, it was like a hair's breadth.
Sam, $900, mate.
Well done, mate. It's as close as anyone's gotten.
It's just one pass mate. One pass. $900. Congratulations, Sam. Amazing.
Thank you.
Good job.
Well
what
done,
champion.
Sam. Play again this time tomorrow. If you've got yourself a smart kid, then jump on todayfm.com.au and you can register. Joined in a studio now, she has a podcast on our affiliate called Birth, Baby and Beyond. She's just about to release her next book, which is After the First 6 Weeks, the follow-up to the smash hit The First 6 Weeks. Good morning, midwife Kath.
Hey.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Hi, Kath.
Good morning,
we've just got to play this. My bum, my bum, my little baby bum. Check it out.
All right.
I'm having a big bump brunch for all the pregnant women of Sydney. And, I mean, you can come if you want to come. You're welcome.
Yeah, I might actually.
Can you come?
Yeah, I'd love
to.
All right, you're in.
So you'll be there for people to pump for information because you are you're an oracle of knowledge. And, oh, look, registration's at todayfm.com.au/win. Now Kath's coming. What a draw card.
Whoa.
Midwife Kath, you have got a new book coming out this week, obviously, after the first 6 weeks. But I wanted to ask you, what are some of the common misconceptions people have about the first 6 weeks?
Well, a lot of people think it's just a nightmare. Where
it's what do you mean?
It can be good. Yeah. It can be it can be okay.
How do we make it okay?
Well, I think you've got to feed the baby. A lot of people forget to feed the baby a lot. You know, babies are hungry.
Well, let's talk about the breastfeeding. I was led to believe, I found breastfeeding hard both times, really hard, and I was made to feel extremely guilty about that by midwives, by women.
Professionals,
who were visiting my house saying, breast is best, breast is best. But my baby was starving, but my boobs were hurting, and I felt like I was a failure as a mother a week in.
I know, it's crazy. And now we want to say fed is best.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Fed is best.
We want to say that.
So
that's a good idea.
Because then milk is milk. You know breast is best. We know that. But, you know, if the baby's hungry and the mum doesn't have enough milk, she can't go into the cave and ask her sister to breastfeed. She's got to have some milk. So there's an alternative.
So are you telling mothers out there, do not feel guilty?
Don't feel guilty. Feel happy. All I want is happy mums.
Oh,
yeah. And then you have a happy baby.
What's your way of knowing? Like, so how do you know if the baby's, like, well-fed enough? You know what I mean? Like, what's the signs that your baby's well-fed enough?
Gaining weight constantly and lots of wet nappies.
Yeah, that's...
Don't worry as much about the poo.
No, everyone was always mad for us when we first, you know, when we first had Arnold. It was always about wet nappies, wet nappies, wet nappies.
Yeah.
And you become, like a gold panner.
Yeah.
So when you open his, take off his clothes, you're like, yes. And then you hold it up and you hold it aloft like Excalibur. Yeah. It's so heavy with wee.
Yep. Very important though, because that means he's in fluid balance.
Yep.
He's got enough fluid on his body to actually put out extra water.
There we go.
I love that.
There you go.
Wet nappies. Just got to talk common sense.
It's hard.
I know it's hard, but you know, but we've lost the plot. We've got to come back to sort of being normal and easy and feed your babies.
Is it? Do we often just overcomplicate it in the sense that there's so many books out there? Everyone has to have a different point of view because that's how they sell their book. Do we just make it so complex? But is it actually just a lot easier than we think?
I agree. Just it is. It can be that easy. And the thing is that a lot of people who are writing books haven't got a lot of experience or medical experience or working with babies. And you know, it's a skill and
well,
it's a
what
science.
Do you know, Kath? You've only delivered over 10,000 babies so far.
I've only done it for 43 years.
Whatever.
I love that. She
amateur.
Just drops that in.
Top ranked amateur.
I want to ask you, my pregnancy is considered a geriatric pregnancy. Mm. I'm an older lady giving birth. What have I.
You don't look it.
Thanks, Del. That was the whole lead up for you.
Well done, Kath.
How do I make it easier? Because my body has. It is so different being pregnant in your 20s. And a lot of women are having babies later now. They just are.
Yeah.
So what advice can you give women like me who. My body is not coping.
Well, sleep is the best thing.
So I have permission to.
Yes, just go to bed.
I'm more tired than ever.
I think so. You would be. You're growing a baby. Yeah.
But I'm eating so much.
Well,
I'm
you need
like
to
seven
feed
meals
the growing
a day.
Baby.
7 meals. Are you judging?
Okay. Maybe cut that down to.
I'm so hungry.
Okay. Maybe 7 little meals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
for the Von Trapps.
Big ones, but
yeah,
a couple bigs. Right.
Yeah. Just like, maybe one big.
Maybe like 5 big.
Maybe 7.
Big. Okay. Maybe.
We're back to 7 big. So Birth Baby and Beyond. That's the podcast now. Very popular on our affiliate podcast. One, we'll put up a link. And after the first 6 weeks is the follow-up book to the smash book, The First 6 Weeks.
And Kath said she had to do that because everyone got to the end of the first book and was like, what the hell do I do now?
No. Well, the baby's looking at you and you're like, well.
I need the book.
Now what? All right. Midwife Kath, love you to see you.
You too, Ed. Yes.
And if you would like to come along to Em's Big Bump Brunch, then jump on.
Mate, todayfm.com.au/win. We are well over 300 women now, so get on board. It's going to be huge.
Massive. You may have noticed we have a new Prime Minister, Grant Denyer. His name?
Is Mr. Bill Shorten.
No.
To be.
At the moment.
He's here.
Scott Morrison.
And he's arrowing toward the big job.
Hello, Bill Shorten.
Hi, Bill Shorten.
Hello.
How are you going?
Like your work, Grant. I like your work.
I'm going to pump you up when we come in.
So today, polls are out. You are preferred Prime Minister for the first time in a couple of years.
Yes.
Who's the first person to text you to let you know that?
Someone I hadn't heard from in ages.
Really?
Bob Hawke?
No, just some friend I went to school.
Malcolm Turnbull.
And I remember thinking, how did you get my number?
Yeah.
39 to 33 preferred PM.
Oh, yeah, we don't talk about it.
I've got to say this. Give him a high five, you can't see.
When the polls were hopeless, I'd say I don't talk about polls, so I've got to maintain that discipline.
Mate, you get a T-shirt.
So, last week, when did you first get an inkling that Malcolm was in real trouble inside his own party?
For a couple of weeks, there'd been a lot of undermining of him by his own crew. Mm. You know, we'd try and get a story up. Oh, we think the government's doing the wrong thing here or there. And the journal say, no, we haven't got space for that. We've got to hear what their own side are saying about them. But last week when Dutton, I think it was, said, I'm going to challenge Malcolm Turnbull. And we went, whoa.
Well, you guys are all like, even Tanya Plibersek said, he was 12 points ahead of you and he's doing a pretty good job. I have to ask you, was this an elaborate Tony Abbott revenge plot? What you think?
I think in part. Listen, we would say that the government wasn't doing a good job. You know, energy prices are too up and wages are too down and lots of things not going on. But having said that, no one can ignore the fact that he was probably the single most popular thing about the government. Mm. And to be fair, Julie Bishop, the second most singular popular thing about the government. And now they've got rid of them.
I know, it's extraordinary.
What are they doing?
But, I mean, I think Australians, I mean, obviously people listening would say, oh, yeah, Bill would be pretty happy, Labor, watching your enemies implode. Yeah, degree of that. But point of it is that we all just look like it's all just a joke, the system. Yeah.
Well, one's governing, dude.
Well, on Thursday, we come in, we don't have the numbers. In Parliament, ultimately, one team's got more votes than the other team.
Sort of how it should be. Otherwise, there's no point having representational government.
But then what happened is the people who've got the majority
didn't show up.
Said we want to cancel Parliament. We just couldn't believe it. We thought, well, what are you doing? Mm. You're getting paid.
I know.
Who else in Australia that day was allowed to say, well, we're not feeling good?
Well, Grant does a fair bit.
He comes in at 7 now.
Have you spoken to Malcolm since?
Yes.
Very briefly.
Did you ring him?
Yeah, and I've contacted
them. That's classy.
I made a little statement.
I saw your statement.
Your statement
was nice.
Was classy.
But when you rang, to say, hey, listen, because I understand that when this
was... he was still about to have the vote on his leadership, so...
Oh, it was before the vote?
Well, I thought it had already sort of happened.
Oh, so you knew. So you said commiserations, and he's like, mate, we haven't voted yet. Is this Peter Dutton putting on a voice?
Listen, I don't want to go into the detail, but in a chronological fashion, yeah, you've nailed it, Ed.
Oh, Joel. Oh, whoops.
No, but that's all right.
You were right, though.
Listen, I mean, the thing about it is that Australians don't like to see someone kicked when they're down, so I wasn't going to do it.
No.
And I thought, right thing here is he didn't agree with him, but he served the country, and I think his own team treated him pretty poorly.
Yeah.
So general election, you're gagging.
Well, I think that...
You're ready.
You know, the 40 people who most people have never heard of have decided who the Prime Minister is. Yeah. I think the sooner the people ever say, the better. They can cast a verdict.
Scott Morrison is the PM that none of us asked for. Your thoughts on him?
Ditto.
Yeah. How does... Yeah.
Well, no, the difference is... Listen, again, nice enough fellow. The point about it all is that, as someone said, it's the same horse, different jockey. For me, the problem is not the salesman. The problem is the thing that they're selling Australia.
Right.
Energy prices out of control. Your listeners this morning will be thinking as they go to work, everything seems to go up except our wages.
Mm.
Right.
You know, in Sydney, housing prices, if you've got kids who are in their early 20s or late 20s, the heartbreak of going along to an auction and the house gets... You know, 20-30% above what you thought it was going to be. Your deposit's not enough. The system doesn't seem to be working the way I think parents thought that they would be able to hand on to their kids.
Mr. Shorten, we have 40 seconds left.
Okay, cool.
And so very, very briefly, one of your staffers left you to go and be on The Bachelor. Alicia. This is true.
She'll be coming back, though. She'll be spewing.
Well, that's. I guess it's one form of show business for another form of show business.
Yeah, she's doing okay, though. She's holding her own.
So what we have here is the Badger. Honey Badger's known for his sayings, the one-layered brick layer, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got is our Honey Badger saying generator. Amazing. Let's start it up. And in front of you,
here it goes. Washer than a rat with a gal fence, you're tough as woodpecker lips.
You blow on as a walrus dog.
But that's nuts.
All right. Now, obviously he appeals to people like his sort of sayings, Bill. So what we've got in front of you is one cup with an emotion and then an animal and a place.
That's
and they're in front of you. Oh, no, that's the order.
That's the order.
Okay. If you flip them over and then I'll ask you how you're feeling. Put them together in order.
The second one.
Yep, and then that third one. Right, and so here we go. This is Bill Shorten as the Honey Badger. Hey, Bill, your preferred Prime Minister. There's a general election coming. How are you feeling?
Happier than a goanna at a keg party.
Bill Shorten, best of luck. Good to see you.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
The only way to get even more M. Grant and Ed is to download and subscribe to the podcast. Head to todayfm.com.au.
Very, very quick story. So... have you noticed it's been in the papers a lot and it's been on the news that they were saying they were going to crack down on massage parlors that were actually performing acts?
Deep tissue?
Yeah, exactly.
The ones that overnight announce a lakey frequency?
Exactly.
Can I ask you, is it true that if there is a sign in the window that says, a neon sign that says...
open...
The old rule of thumb was if it was flashing, if the open sign was flashing. But then...
because I'm always scared to walk in.
Yes,
that was unfair though, Grant, because apparently some people's sign just flashes.
Yeah,
so they were getting like, oh, I know what's going on.
I'm getting thrown, because I heard you say that now. I drive down a street and I see an open flashing sign and it might be, say, at the front of a milk bar, I go, what, brothel?
So... over the weekend, my wife went to have coffee with one of her friends, and when she came back, Tiff was laughing a little head off. I said, "What's so funny? What's so funny?" She goes, "Oh, her friend is fighting with her husband because she just had a baby, Tiff's friend, a few months ago, and her hips are still hurting, it's all sort of there.
It's all a mess down there,
exactly.
Yes.
And so her husband's mate had said, "There's a really good massage parlor down the road. You should go and check it out."
What?
Right. So she's been going to this place, and she's been there 4 times.
Right.
And last night...
so the lady's been getting massages.
On the mate's recommendation. She goes back there, Grant, yesterday, and there's a sign on the door saying, "This has been closed because the police have found out that this..."
He's just dubbed himself in.
..is performing sex acts. So the friend's gone back to the husband first and gone,
hey, that joint
that joint that your mate Jono is telling us to go to has been closed down.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no. And she's like, do you go there? And he goes, oh, nah, man, I've never been there. She goes, get the mate on the phone. Get him on the phone, on speaker, we're having a swing. And he's like, oh, no, he wouldn't. And she goes, do it. So he calls up his mate. They're on speaker. And he goes, hey, mate, it's me. Okay, mate. You go, yeah, good. Listen, look, my wife's here. She just wants to ask you something. Hey, Jono, yeah, you know that massage parlor? Yeah. I've been going there, yeah, because you recommended it, yeah. It's a brothel. They've just put a sign on the door saying it's a brothel. Long pause.
Oh, God.
Jono.
What, Jono?
But you're relaxed, aren't you?
Let me entertain you.
Well, guys, romance is dead.
Oh,
mark the date down, 7:51 a.m. Whatever the hell today's date is, dead, gone.
What happened?
Kira and Jared, Bachelor in Paradise couple.
Yep.
Have broken up.
Damn it.
What the hell? One.
They came in here, and remember we said as they walked out that they look like a normal, genuine sort of couple. I thought they'd done it. They were going to buy Jared some new jeans. I thought, Grant, they've done it.
They haven't sold me.
Yeah, I think you were convinced, but the rest of us were like, they look like they're just holding it together for appearances a little bit. Because they couldn't give us a straight answer about their status.
Despite obvious difference in their personalities, with Kira being called a villain and Jared being called a stage 5 clinger, she fell for each other. And we're the longest serving couple. But sadly, Kira has announced via Instagram to her 177,000 followers.
Wow.
Is with a very sad heart. But I have to let you all know that Jared and I have split up. .. I'm sorry if anyone is disappointed or if I've let anyone down. Well, we all feel let down, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Let everyone, let yourself down. Yep. Please respect our privacy.
Nope. That's not what you went into the Bachelor for.
I don't think if you're going on an island drinking all your daiquiris, you want me to respect your privacy.
Nope.
As this is a very hard time for me, broken heart emoji.
Which emoji?
We wanted it to work.
Well,
yeah,
if your fake relationship
kids.
Ends, you know.
They are both kooky kids, Grant. You're right.
I kind of liked them.
Did you?
Yeah, if anything, they were interesting to watch on television. That's kind of the main ingredient for going
on one
of those shows.
Don't ask me to respect your privacy when you've been on two reality TV shows.
Yeah, that's
true. She's
been
on more than that.
Yeah. Jesus. Rebel Wilson has had to repay the $4.2 million compensation payout she received from Bauer Media. That figure includes $60,000 in interest that it accrued when she kept it in her account. So she was awarded $4,749,920 payout and then was overturned on appeal. I'm surprised she got the money.
That's what they do.
Why?
Because they want to give it to you quick smart so that then when they take it back, let's say she's done the right thing, which is just leave it in a bank account, because what they want to do is get it back from you and make you pay back the interest if you spent it. Yes.
That's like a double.
Because I would think don't you think it should go into a trust until it's done and dusted?
Nope. You get it, and they want you to spend it so that you have to pay them back even more.
Who's them?
Well, in this case, Bauer, but in normal cases,
so
other
Bauer.
People like that.
That's wow.
But this is par for the course. That's not Bauer's invention. That's just a
That's a traditional
tactic.
Legal
yeah,
thing,
that's a
is
legal
it?
Tactic, yeah.
So she's ended up with $600,000, which is not bad.
That's heaps.
Yeah, not bad. Good to you.
Grant, the amount of, and I'm not saying Bauer, but I'm just saying in general, let's just say one lie about you is $600,000, because that's what Rebel's been left with.
Yeah.
How much money would you and Shezzy have made thus far if it was $600,000 for every lie that was in a magazine about you?
That's a hard one for us to discuss, because I've been in this situation before.
Okay, right. But let's just say that the going rate.
How many pregnancies has she had this year?
That's
already?
What I mean. Let's just say the going rate was 600, just in a hypothetical, and in the real amount of lies vaguely that's been put on you over the years.
It would be 600 each week for possibly the last 5 months.
What a great way to earn a living.
It is. Finally, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have settled their divorce.
Oh.
I'll take you to the rehab and take you get your burger if you sign this bit of paper, Ben. What is this bit of paper, Jen? Don't worry about it. Just put your name on it.
Who got what? Who's richer?
Well, there was no prenup. So there has been a settlement, a divide of 50-50. The thing was, is the custody of the children. She wants him to get better so that he can actually look after the kids.
Nice. Contribute.
Exactly. So, it was no prenup. So this is why it's been dragging out for so long.
Gosh.
But it has been settled. They are officially divorced. And he is safely away in a rehab facility, and we hope that he regains
and
his sobriety.
In within the Kira and Jared split, because there was a prenup there.
Yes.
So I believe that he's trying to get custody of the rented Hyundai Getz that they share and sleep in.
Oh, that's Jesus Christ. Sleep in? That was harder than I was going to go. I tip my hat to you, sir. No, I tip my hat to you.
So be on the lookout for them, just in you, Martin Place, you, with Cavalier, the hat down.
Oh,
saying,
Jesus. She's still going.
Today FM's secret sound.
What's that sound? What's that sound?
2 minutes past eight. $75,000 TVs, Grant Denyer. That's what we're giving away on your television shows over the years. Give away what? Nothing. Oh, here's a dog bowl and a smack in the face. That's what you used to dish out on the Family Feud. That's why they had to arrest it, because it was so embarrassing when people would get to the end and you go, here's a half-eaten caramello koala and my unfinished manuscript.
And your board game.
What a joke.
And that board game is worth $30 and worth every single cent.
I've got that board game. That's all I got.
Think about the joy it's brought your family, the togetherness as you sit around the table and share some wonderful experiences.
Brought joy to my fireplace. Oh,
how dare you
kindling.
Talk to each other's face for a change instead of your devices in your home of hell.
Now that you're in radio, baby, this is where the real moolah lives.
Yeah.
75 large. Just for knowing what this is.
Yeah.
There are no friends in radio.
No.
How long did it take you?
At least we didn't cancel you, mate.
Rested. He's rested. I tell you. Now let's get into the secret sound, because there's 75 grand's worth. We've got Kimmy, our executive producer, because we've thrown the adjudicators out because Kimmy has guessed the secret sound. She is you. She is the person that you are trying to emulate. Kimmy, you have guessed the secret sound.
I have.
Here comes Kelly from Smithfield. Kelly, you're first on this week. What do you believe the secret sound to be?
I believe it is when you first break the adhesive seal on a cardboard box of crackers.
Let's hear it.
It's a very good answer because you're so specific about the crackers. Cardboard box of crackers. It's incorrect. But I like the answer in that at least you're specific, and I keep saying that to people.
Thank you, Kimmy.
Good
specificity
advice.
Is what we need here.
Yes.
So, Julie, having heard Kimmy's direction to be specific, she's now crossed her arms. So, Julie, what do you believe the secret sound to be?
I believe it to be taking a sticky label off an apple.
Oh! Okay.
Now, does it have to be a green or a red apple?
What's your answer? Well, what kind of apple is it?
Thank you, Julie.
One that you bite into and eat.
your final answer is peeling a sticky label off a green or red apple?
Yes.
Oh, no. Sorry, no. It's not. I was expecting you to say red or green.
Yeah, red or green. Either way, it's wrong.
Exactly.
So we can rule out both red and green apples.
Okay.
Can we rule out...
We rule out apples.
No, I'm not ruling out apples.
Okay. Well, you'd never rule out apples.
You're trying.
Yeah, because you're hungover today, so I thought I could get you.
Ah, good idea. Hey, Kimmy, what's the secret sound? Okay, she's good.
Please don't.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's good.
I weak like a kitten. Okay.
Don't break me.
Lindsay from Arncliffe. Lindsay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so here is the secret sound. For $75,000, what do you believe it is?
Okay, I think it's inserting a cassette into a car cassette tape deck.
Now, ooh, interesting. Let's hear it one more time. Which cassette? Drive Bunny?
Rockset.
Let's go with the Rockset.
Rockset.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Good guess. I like that.
Cool.
Dude, Kim's looking at me like, it's better than the Apple one, isn't it?
Cassette tape. It's wrong anyway.
Lindsay.
Is it a floppy disk, Kim? Is it a floppy disk?
There's a noise we haven't heard.
I'm not anything.
You're not partaking, are you?
Okay. This is epic. 13-10-60, is it okay to ask for money for your wedding instead of gifts? Like, just flat out say, can you put money in my bank account?
Geez, that's a big call.
Ponder that.
Breaks the protocol. You're going to be thankful that the people just turn up.
All right, we'll ponder that as I tell you our next story. 13-10-60, is it okay to ask for money instead of gifts at weddings? Susan, a bride, has had to call her wedding off 4 days out because her friends and family refused to help her pay for her $60,000 dream wedding. She simply asked every single guest to give her the small sum of $1,500 to be put directly into her bank account.
Jesus.
$1,500 from everyone.
No gifts. And that entitled them entry to the wedding of the century, as she called it.
That they had paid for.
That they had paid for.
Come on.
But it became apparent to Susan that the wedding was not going to go ahead.
Oh,
and so she called it off and then lost her mind on Facebook in the most spectacular scorched earth entrance I've ever. Now, it goes forever and I've tried to condense it. And I know it's awful, but I can get inside this anger. I know she's awful, but I completely relate to the level of anger. And I also want to state I'm going to insert the word pencil for the C-bomb.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, good work.
Dear friends, it comes with great sadness that I'm announcing the cancellation of my wedding. I apologize for canceling it only 4 days beforehand. I will be spending the next 2 months backpacking in South America, exploring my soul and ridding myself of the toxic energy brought on by you, my friends and family.
Aw, Susan.
Before I begin this mini novel, I invite all of you, including the pencils who have ruined my marriage and life,
all right,
to put yourselves in my shoes. For once, let me take the stage and let me voice the most painful few months of my life. My ex and I, they broke up. We managed to save up
pencil.
Nearly total pencil. We managed to save up nearly 15K for a wedding and we started touring venues and were torn between two. And then we saw a local psychic and she told us to go for the more expensive option.
And we
thought, why the hell not? We just needed a little push. Our dream wedding was around 60K. And I specifically asked for cash from you guys. How could we have our wedding that we dreamed of without proper funding? Yeah. We've sacrificed so much and only asked you for $1,500 each.
Only pencils.
So we sent out the RSVPs and only 8 people responded and sent us checks.
Hang on, that means, that means that she's got 12 grand.
Not enough. She needs 60. She wants to be a Kardashian. Listen to this. Suddenly, more people backed out, including that pencil maid of honor, my best friend, since childhood.
Not a pencil maid.
So we set up a GoFundMe that only got $250.
Oh, my God.
My ex came in the room and offered me a Vegas wedding. I laughed in his face.
Yeah.
Was he dead serious? He wanted one of those cheap, raggedy, filthy, whore Vegas weddings? Oh, I mean, what am I?
Raggedy.
I then called my maid of honor and cried my eyes out. And instead of sympathy, I was told that I was asking way too much. I mean, how could someone who offered me thousands of dollars then deny me my promised money and then tell me to shift down my budget? Anyway, I'm exhausted. I'm bone tired. My heart is not the same.
No.
Here's a friendly reminder to you pencils. Don't think you own me. I'm cutting all of you snakes off. I'm living my life alone. I only let in those I believe have good intentions. Mm-hmm. And then there's only one comment, and underneath it's like, I have no words. You're out of your mind, Susan.
Oh.
Susan.
Oh, my God. That's biblical.
So this,
and it was, out. I left out so many pages.
So everyone, so she's like a, got like a Derwent set of pencils in her life.
Oh, my
she's
God. They're all pencils.
Every shade.
That she's just launched them all. Like she's tagged the maid of honor.
Oh,
but everyone's blocked her from the wedding.
Hang on. Well, what about the 12? Hang on. She's still got 12 grand.
She said, oh, and I quote, thank you.
What happened to the 12?
I will not be returning the money.
No.
Because they have to pay, I refuse to give back the money until they can pay me back for their emotional distress.
Are you kidding me? There's no event, so you can't take the money for the event that never happened.
Well, I mean, she's got emotional distress, and those pencils owe her, okay?
Get extra giggles when you download and subscribe to the podcast of M, Grant and Ed. Search Today FM Breakfast on your favourite podcast app or head to todayfm.com.au now.
She tours the country non-stop, just selling out, and a new show at the Opera House December 15. Tickets are available at kittyflanagan.com, or she's very kindly given us a double pass, which we'll get to.
We'll get on it quick because she sold the first show out.
Yep.
She's had to pop a second one on.
Yep.
And this
5
is
p.m.
close to selling out, so get there.
Her name is Kitty Flanagan.
Yay!
Good morning, Kitty.
Yes.
Good
morning.
Now, you're on with me tonight. I have been paying attention, Channel 10,
yes.
Young Will Anderson as well, and various others.
Oh, great.
Ursula, my favourite.
Oh,
Ursula.
Ursula. Sorry,
oh, what
Ursula.
A lineup.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about
you
Ursula.
And Ursula and Will and him. Great.
And you came into work and you showed us all a photograph of three people. It was you in the middle
mm-hmm.
and then two very nice looking ladies.
Yes.
And we said, oh, are they friends of yours? And you said,
Okay, so I got stranded in Dubbo. The plane was hit by lightning that I was supposed to get on, so the plane couldn't take off. So Qantas said, you all have to stay in Dubbo. And I said, well, I'm not going to stick around and wait for Qantas to find me somewhere. So I started ringing around trying to find a hotel. There was nowhere to stay in Dubbo. Everywhere was full. I was going online and it was saying, Dubbo is 100% booked. Would you like
Dubbo's
to stay somewhere
full?
Else? Yes. And I was saying, well, I'd love to stay somewhere else, but it's not really an option, thanks.
I'm
booking.
In Dubbo.
So I rang a few hotels and they said, oh, we'll check for you as well. And they went, oh my God, something's going on. Dubbo is 100% booked.
What was happening in Dubbo?
I don't know. I have no idea what was going on.
Rodeo in town or something.
And then these two ladies, as I was sitting there sort of getting a little bit teary because I was worried about my dog at home as well and having to find someone to go and get him, these two ladies came up to me and said, excuse me, we're not weird or stalkery or anything, but would you like to come and stay at our house? Now, that possibly should have been a warning when people open with we're
they
not weird or stalkery or anything.
Strangers.
Well, I'm not, but she might be.
Yes.
So these two and are... I looked at them both with their blonde bobs and I went, yes, yes, I would like
oh,
to come
no.
and stay with you.
You
I
stayed
know.
At, you went and stayed at a stranger's house?
Yes, I did. And it was great. And they...
and they were your fans, let's be clear.
Well, they knew who I was. Yes. So I don't know if they were fans or not. I mean, it turned out they did like me. Yeah. I mean, but I didn't say that first. I said, oh, are you fans
when
of mine?
When they made you perform
you
at 1 a.m. in the kitchen. Dance, kitty, dance.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you, there is only one bed.
Did they ask you for a lock of hair when you left?
They did make a few jokes that were kind of funny. And I was also going, oh, it's not really that funny. When they were going, oh, we're not going to wash this wine glass that you've drunk out of.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah,
you are though, really, aren't you?
And so hang on. So you get there, you go to this stranger's house.
Yes.
You've got your bag. And then what do they say?
Well, then they gave me, it was a beautiful room. It was like it was, you know, set up like a proper guest room. It was like it was something that had been styled from the block. And I went, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And then we just had, I bought some champagne on the way home because I just felt lucky that I'd found.
So now you
point,
want to be drunk
was,
in
oh
front
my
of
God.
These
I would have been now like, oh, I'm so tired, but it's only 5 p.m. I'm exhausted. I'm going to sleep.
So now you're getting drunk with these strangers.
Yes.
Were you doing some shoeies out of an R.M. Williams as well?
Well, they were fantastic because they were like proper country people. They were both from a farm, like they'd both grown up on neighbouring, not grown up, but they both were married to farmers in Trangie. One of them had since left the farm, moved to Dubbo. The other one still lived out in Trangie. So I got all the farm country news.
The full life story.
Did they have a tattoo of the Southern Cross on their right arm?
No, they didn't. They were just fantastic people. I thought only in the country would you trust someone who came up to you at an airport and said, do you want to stay at our house? In the city, you'd call the cops.
Yeah.
But in the country, you go, do you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it.
So do you, is this now the, because Kitty Flanagan's famous, you're famous for going to every town in New South Wales.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to really save on a com from now on.
Kitty, if you know anyone in a rural New South Wales, Kitty's taking, people are calling now. You'll be rapt about this.
Did you wake up in the middle of the night and they were standing over the top of you watching you sleep?
Look, I'll be honest, I didn't sleep all night, but that was nothing to do with them. I was just more nervous about getting out the next day, which was, but the best thing was, at 10 o'clock, we got a text from Qantas saying, your flight's not going to go tomorrow either. And so then everyone just went into solving the problem mode and they said, okay, let's do a road trip because we've got to get you back to Sydney.
Yeah.
Then you've got to fly to Melbourne to do, have you been paying attention? So they said, let's do a road trip. Now, being country people, they pulled out their breathalyzer. They had their own breathalyzer. We all blew in the bag. We're all way over, so no one could drive. So then she said, hang on, I'll get my daughter up. She's sober. So at 10 at night, we were planning a road trip to Sydney. And fortunately, then I went, you know what? Even though I've had a few champagnes, it might be time to call my manager and see if he's maybe got a better solution to any of this.
Holy.
And fortunately, he was the one that went, yeah, Kitty, you're not getting in a car at 10 o'clock at night and trying to drive to Sydney.
Jesus.
He said, stand down. I'll try and sort out a flight for you in the morning.
Oh, my God, Kitty. But all's well that ends. So didn't got up in the chat brekkie together?
Well, I got up and they offered me breakfast, but I was in a hurry and I had to go. And I said, I'm also kind of full from the tie we had last night. And they said, yes, so are we. They said, so are we, but we're going again. And I went, I love these country people.
Have you got their number? Are they
eating through? Kez and Lucy, we're great friends now.
Kez and Lucy. Okay, so.
Good on you, Kez and Lucy.
13, 1060. Have you ever?
Have you ever? Stayed with a stranger in a non-sexual way.
In a non-sexual way, have you ever ended up staying?
I mean, to be honest, they didn't put it on me, so I'm not saying it couldn't have gone there.
I mean,
they didn't, you know, they didn't open that door.
Yeah, fair enough.
13, 1060. I would be shocked if there's anyone that's ever ended up at a stranger's house in a non-sexual way.
Yeah, just out of the kindness of strangers.
Wow.
Or have you ever offered? to put a stranger up. Because that's another thing. I would never offer to put a stranger up either. So God bless these women. I would have been sleeping in my car.
There are people coming in 13, 10, 60. Have you ever ended up at a stranger's house in a non-sexual way? Joined in the studio by the wonderful Kitty Flanagan. She's at the Opera House, December 15. Tickets are at kittyflanagan.com.
Special 5 p.m. show, best time for a show ever.
Love it.
Yeah, you were saying you can see the show, get dinner, talk about you.
And be home by 9.
Yeah. Watching Downton Abbey. It's perfect.
On 13 10 60, have you ended up at a stranger's house in a non-sexual way? Kitty Flanagan, you stayed the night with two women in Dubbo.
Kez and Lucy, my new best friends.
Because your plane had stopped. There was nowhere to stay.
If there's a farmer that wants a wife, I'm in. I want to join Kez and Lucy on the land.
Okay. Okay.
So, Nick from Marrickville.
Hello.
Did you end up at a random's house non-sexually?
I was in the line to get on the plane to go home back to Bali, and my flight was cancelled. And being the distraught little person that I was, I had nowhere to stay, and some lovely Aussies came off the flight, and they offered me somewhere to stay. And I had to travel like an hour to get to this villa, and I was like, this could be the day that I die.
It does go through your head, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And then I get in this villa, my word, it was immaculate. There was food, champagne everywhere. I felt like a princess in high heels. It was
amazing. You are a princess. Nick.
And you are correct.
Well done.
Thank you, Nick. All right. I guess. Laura from San Suzy. Laura, you ended up at
Morning, guys.
Hello, what happened?
So at the start of the year, I took myself on a road trip after having a couple of days off. I was about an hour and a half inland from Taree. I was out exploring a waterfall. Oh, I was about ready to climb out of the waterfall, come to realise I lost my car key somewhere at the bottom of that waterfall.
Oh, no. So what'd you do, Laura?
So the lovely locals around that area took me in for 2 nights. I set my tent up in their backyard. The second night, because I was leaving so early in the morning, because one of the locals was helping me take my car to the Taree dealership to get a car, the key cut and coded, slept outside on their, like, old school veranda porches. And, yeah, that was just one of those crazy moments where you love humanity.
But they didn't let you in the house, Laura.
I know, just in the backyard and on the porch. No, I said to them, you guys have already done way too much. It's fine. Like, I've got my tent. Everything's fine.
Oh, it's her idea.
I didn't want to be a burden. So.
Yeah, and also a much easier escape route.
Correct.
Should I go wrong? No one can lock the doors on that tent.
Sally. Sally's from Dural. Sally, what happened?
So I was on a flight from Canada into the States, and I had a connecting flight, and I'd been talking to a man and his son in about his 20s about their holiday, and they'd been in Canada hunting. And anyway, I got into LA and had missed my connecting flight.
Okay.
Yep.
Hunting. Yep. Anyway, so I'd missed my connecting flight and thought, oh, it's all right. I was backpacking, so I'd sleep in the airport, but security came and moved me on. Mm-hmm. And anyway, then these two men who I'd previously sat on the hunters, who I'd sat on the plane next to, walked past and they saw me and said, oh, do you want to come back and, you know, stay at our place? Because by this time, I don't know, it was, I don't know,
Sally,
1 o'clock in the morning or something silly.
You did not go and stay at the hunt. Oh, my God.
Wow. And was it Donald Trump and his son?
Wow. Did they get you there and then just, like, say, okay, run? And then you just had to run into the bushes while they chased you?
Just pop these antlers on for us, Sally.
And it was all fine, Sally? Obviously, it was fine.
Yeah, look, in the morning they made me, I slept on the couch. They made me a nice bed on the couch. We went home with the rifles and the carcass of some animal. And
okay, for any kids listening, I'm going to say it's very different what I did. I stayed with basically the Prue and Trude of Dubbo. I did not go home with two men with guns.
But there's no deer on the bonnet of your car.
I think the carcass is what's the most upsetting,
really. There's never been more red flags. And Sal's gone, yeah, nah, beat the airport.
I've got some timeshare accommodation I'd like to send you, Sally. Seems like you're up for
it. It all worked out. Well played. Now, Laura's got herself a double pass, which I'm going to give to Laura from St. Susie from the waterfall to go and see the wonderful Kitty Flanagan at the Opera House. But Kitty, before we let you go, The Bachelor's on at the moment.
Yes.
Now, who's your favourite girl on The Bachelor? You don't know her name, but what did she say?
I think I quite like Vanessa Sunshine because I just know her name because
she's
says
favorite.
It so many times.
We love her.
Love her.
Out and out hates the honey badger and doesn't even hide it.
Doesn't want to be there and still getting the rose.
Yep.
A lesson for all you ladies. Talk about playing hard to get.
You're all from, and so because he's all got all these stupid sayings, you know, I'm slicker than a rat with a whatever.
Yeah.
Now the game is that anyone can do one of these. He's claiming to have a monopoly. Anyone can do it. So fire up the honey badger saying generator and Kitty grab from the three cups. Face down. Patient. And a place.
Okay.
All right. So now have them in order. Okay. So we'll flip them over and I'll ask you how you're feeling. So here we go. And hey Kitty Flanagan, how you feeling?
Oh, Ed. I'm grumpier than a nurse at a pyjama party.
Yeah. Doesn't even make sense.
And she's on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight. Bye, Kitty.
Bye.
Thank you.
Got stuff to do but don't want to miss any of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed? Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
No chatting. I was leading you in, remember?
Yes, you are.
We were chatting off air about how much Ella's play is opening this week. And I have to witness her having her first kiss.
Has it happened yet?
No, they've been rehearsing. There's a scene where she has to kiss the other lead and she hasn't had a problem. I don't know.
Does she like him?
Yeah, they're friends.
Oh.
But then you were saying, you were saying that you were once in a school play, and this is one of these things you mentioned off air, and I'm like, you should do this on air, and you got concussed?
Yeah. High school shows can be pretty hectic locations. Like, your daughter's going to do a lot of dancing, there's a lot of chore, there's singing, it's a big production.
And a rotating stage. It's got a rotund.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's next level. Yeah. Kids can bump into one another and things can happen in high school stage musicals. I was involved in one. It was an Irish play called The Hostage and it was set in the 70s and I was playing a gay Irishman. And there was a scene.
Wow. Where did you go to high school again?
in Victoria.
What suburb? What town?
Hallam. It's called Hallam High School.
I know Hallam. Okay, all right. Yeah,
it was the biggest secondary college in the Southern Hemisphere at that particular point because there were no high schools out in that region. There was just one. And it was full of kids. Anyway, I was in the stage show and there was this scene where all the lights go out and strobes go off and there's a police raid and we all kind of run across the stage screaming in the dark. And as I run across the stage, there's a girl running the other way in the dark holding a rifle in front of her face, afraid she's going to bump into something. And she did. She bumped into me and the gun hit me right in the between the bridge of the nose and the eye and clocked me. And so I managed to somehow finish the show, finish a line, take my curtain call, get back to the dressing room, and then I'm going, did I take my curtain call? Everyone's going, yeah, you did. What time is it? No, it's 8:45. Did I take my curtain call? Yes, you did. What time is it? 8:45.
Oh,
they went, something's wrong with Grant. But what had happened was I was knocked out and concussed but stuck in character.
Yes.
So I was still a gay Irishman.
Yes.
What?
So all of a sudden they've gone, there's a head injury here.
Did you have an accent?
Yeah, an Irish accent. So
what is a gay Irish?
We better go get Mrs. Denya. So Mrs. Denny comes down. She goes, my son is not going to hospital with that much eyeliner on. So she's there with the face washer just scrubbing my face off before the ambulance comes. So the ambulance gets there. They lie me down. They have a look at my eyes and I got one pupil bigger than the other. They go, wow, head injury, trouble. They lie me down. They put me in a neck brace. And then the ambo's going, can you feel this? Can you feel this? And I'm like, yes, I can. And it feels wonderful. Can you do it some more?
Oh, my God.
And my mum's going, bloody hell.
Grant.
My son's trapped as a gay Irishman in the 70s forever.
And when did you snap out of that? What needs to happen?
Still got to the hospital, saw the trauma doctor. They say all the signs are bad, do the scans. They had to induce me into a sleep to reduce the swelling and then just hope. The hope that I wake up as Grant Denyer not Rio Rita from 1970 in Ireland.
I want Rio Rita hosting Family Feud. Rio Rita for me. Think how different your career would have been if you were Rio Rita for the rest of your
Rio
life.
Rio Rita.
Can you feel this? Yes, I can. Can you do it a little bit higher, please?
Wow.
Someone near the...
No, stop now. Rio, stop now. It's a breakfast show, Rio.
Today FM Breakfast. Weekdays from 6. 104.1 Today FM.